You are listening to a recording of the Open Society Foundations, working to build vibrant and tolerant democracies worldwide. Visit us at soros.org.
The situation in Kyrgyzstan is as many of you know, extremely complex. It's a situation where there is still great promise and potential ever since the ouster of Bakiyev almost exactly a year ago. But a situation where there also where there's some very, very serious challenges, particularly where human rights are concerned. And of course, the one case in point are the lingering effects of the terrible ethnic violence which occurred last summer. We're also at a time now where we are waiting the release of the report of the International Committee investigating the events of last summer, which we hope will be out soon. So the way we've decided to divide things up today is that Valentina will start and will speak about the situation in the South in particular. Then Sardar will speak about broader issues relating to access to justice, combating torture, and so on. Dinara will speak about the broader environment in Kyrgyzstan right now for civil society and where the opportunities are for civil society engagement. And then finally, Dima will sum things up with some recommendations for further steps for the international community. So, we'll begin. We'll begin with Valentina. Valentina will be making her presentation in Russian, and I will be translating as best I can into English.
Сколько я живу и работаю на юге страны, это город Джалалабад, где произошли известные вам, наверное, июньские события. Я буду говорить и о своей работе, и о том, что там происходит, с точки зрения, ну вот именно моей, как я воспринимаю эту действительность.
So since I live and work in Jalalabad, a city where the violence occurred, I'll be speaking from the point of view of my own experience there.
Создается такое впечатление, что центральная власть не контролирует ситуацию на юге. И не имеет там кредита доверия.
It seems that the central authorities do not control the situation in the south and also do not enjoy any trust there.
Первоначально это было связано после апреля, когда произошла смена власти в стране, и временное правительство просто не имело достаточных сил для того, чтобы это сделать.
At first this had to do with the change in government last April, and the interim government simply did not have the power to impose its rule on the south.
Сейчас в течение вот этого уже достаточно продолжительного времени такое ощущение, что не контролируется ситуация на юге, поскольку политики наши связаны обстоятельством и происходят такие процессы, о которых мои коллеги расскажут попозже и дадут большую ясность.
And now for quite some period of time, though, the government still continues not to have any control over the south, and this is related to a variety of circumstances about which we'll be hearing more from my colleagues.
Очень сложная ситуация на юге, связанная с безопасностью, как людей, так и информационной безопасностью.
There are great concerns in the south about security, both security of people, but also security of information.
Сложно идут процессы примирения и восстановления мира на юге.
The process of reconciliation and peace building in the south are also proceeding with great complications.
Этим занят в основном неправительственный сектор, и это очень незначительно освещается средствами массовой информации. Люди просто не знают о том, что это все-таки происходит.
This is largely being done by representatives of civil society and is very poorly reflected in the media. People simply don't have any idea what's going on.
Исторически на юге транслировали два канала на узбекском языке, и многочисленная узбекская община, которая составляет около миллиона жителей, могли на своем родном языке знать о ситуации в стране.
In the past, there were two television stations that broadcast in the Uzbek language, and the Uzbek-speaking inhabitants of the south, who are around a million people, could keep up with the news in their native language.
Сейчас этого нет, и та часть населения, которая не владеет русским либо киргизским языком, они просто вырваны с нашего информационного поля и видят ситуацию глазами сопредельного государства, то есть Узбекистана, который транслирует на юге.
Now we do not have this anymore, so our citizens who do not speak Kyrgyz or Russian are effectively cut off from information and often rely on information they receive from a neighboring state, in particular Uzbekistan.
Достаточно сложно также происходит ситуация в судебных процессах, то есть по доступу к правосудию.
And there are also very significant problems in the judicial process, that is, in access to justice.
По июньским событиям было возбуждено очень большое количество уголовных дел. Из них до суда дошли приблизительно 20%.
There were a great number of criminal cases which were opened in relation to the events in the south, and about 20% actually made it to court.
По сообщению Генеральной прокуратуры, около 80% дел приостановлены.
And according to the prosecutor general, about 80% of cases have been closed.
Причем это дела, связанные с серьезными преступлениями, это грабежи, поджоги, убийства.
And these are cases related to very serious crimes, such as looting, arson and murder.
Приостановлены не в силу того, что следствию сложно найти преступников.
And they're closed, or I should say rather dismissed, simply because it's very hard to find the criminals, the guilty parties.
Ну и стоит сказать о тех процессах, которые дошли до суда.
But I should say a few words about the cases that did make it to court.
Основные аспекты, по которым мы можем, как правозащитники, сказать, что нет справедливого судопроизводства.
And with regard to these, we can say, as human rights activists, that there was no fair process.
Это то, что в суде не соблюдается равенство сторон, равенство обвинения и защиты.
The two sides, the two parties in the cases, the prosecutor and the defense, are simply not equal.
То есть позиция защиты, она немногим отличается от позиции людей, которые обвиняются по этим событиям.
So the position of the defense differs very little from the people who are actually being accused of crimes related to the June events.
На адвокатов нападают, избивают, обвиняют их в непатриотизме за то, что они защищают преступников.
Lawyers are attacked, they're beaten, they're accused of lack of patriotism for defending criminals.
Люди, дошедшие до суда, в основном прошли через пытки.
People whose case do come to court generally have been tortured.
Но очень мало поступает заявление о том, что применялись к пытке.
But there are very few declarations about the fact that torture was inflicted.
Родственники подсудимых готовы об этом говорить, рассказывать, но просят не правозащитников не делать никаких движений в защиту.
The relatives of the victims are prepared to speak about this, but they also often ask human rights activists not to take any direct actions.
Люди опасаются преследования за такие сообщения.
They're afraid of repression should they make such declarations.
В заключение могу только сказать, что до стабильности на юге пока еще не очень близко.
And in conclusion, I can say that it's still there's still a very long way to go until there is stability in the south. Okay, thanks. So, Sardar.
In addition to what my colleague already raised, I just want to also raise some problems in the sphere of access to justice. These problems are not only general condition related to the level of corruption, lack of impunity, and lack of effective state control, but mostly related to cases of unfair trials, mass practice of torture right after tragic events in June 2010 in the south part of the Kyrgyz Republic. More than 300 torture cases were registered during last 1.5 years, and the big number of these cases are coming from the south and in the period after June events. And as Valentin already said, in many other cases, people just afraid to complain. All these torture cases and illegal detentions followed by unfair trials and unproportional punishments. As a result, more than 40 people sentenced for a life, and this is only during 4 months. If we will see a statistic beginning from 1998, when de facto the death penalty was abolished by our government, we had only about 25-30 cases with life imprisonment a year. So you can imagine how big number is now. I mean, 40 people only during 4 months. Unfortunately, all these people sentenced for life imprisonment are ethnic Uzbeks, which is somehow illustrating the current state policy on minority rights. At least no one political parties who are now in the parliament and who are outside of the parliament are willing to accept some of political parties, but few numbers, are willing to promote issues of reconciliation, accountability, peace-building process, and conflict mitigation. As one of the example of unfair trial, we can raise an issue of human rights defender Azimjan Askarov, who faced torture during 2 months of investigation in at the temporary detention facility in Bazarkorgon region of Jalalabad Oblast, and later faced unfair trial where witnesses and his relatives and witnesses of other people were not allowed to attend a court hearing due to physical abuses and lack of security by law enforcement bodies. Why are we so often raising actually any evidence proving that Mr. Askarov is guilty were not provided, and except and policemen's witnessing against him. But it is somehow understandable because of Askarov's background and his more than 10 years human rights activism, during which many criminal cases were initiated against law enforcement bodies in particular in this Bazarkorgon region for some typical crimes and for using of torture against people. So local police could just use this opportunity for revenge. In spite of complaints on torture, no one criminal investigation were, especially also in the south part of the country, not only on Askarov's case, but in many others, effective and independent investigation were not provided. Why are we so often raising a case of human rights defender Askarov, who, as I said, was sentenced for life? Because it is somehow a lakmus test for other such cases and indicator for could be as an indicator for judicial system in general. That's why we are proposing to pay more attention to issues of judicial system reform. Reform of law enforcement bodies in general, and of course this process should go with high involvement of civil society representatives. We are still expecting some support from political parties who are and the Kyrgyz parliament in general on these initiatives and hope to to solve these issues as soon as possible. Yeah. Other issues maybe I can raise during discussion.
I would like to provide some general overview of current situation in our country. Maybe you know where is Central Asia, and it's a traditional area. In Kyrgyzstan, first country which chose parliament democracy. Kyrgyzstan is the first country where the religious first president is woman, and it's a big challenge, but at that time it's a big chance for us. And at this in this situation has some issues, some problems because we our country surrounded by a country of with a strong presidential system, with a strong authoritarian regime, where the president presidents has already 10 or 12 years. Just one president they didn't elect it, and we don't we didn't see any experience that they could just change the president to another face. And in this time we have really a big a problem with the social economical situation, and of course it depends from the our neighbor's country. Maybe that's why we didn't yet understand what this, what the parliament democracy can really give for our country, and maybe we are very careful with it. And now we have very critical moment when we should really. To have choice, or we will build parliament democracy, or we will return back to presidential system. And why? Some political leaders in our country, they really need reform. They support this reform. They trying to do some democracy initiative, which is supported by civil society. But at the time, we have lots of another opposition political leaders who says that we are not ready for parliament democracy, and we can't build in alone this parliament democracy when we are surrounded by the authoritarian regime's country, and say and it's very interesting when they say it's better to have one corruption family than to have 120 corruption family in parliament. So, and people agree with it. So it means that people don't believe really just we can, the new government, the president and parliament can decrease this corruption or fight. And they don't believe that state will have really political will to fight corruption in our country. But anyway, we started. And now we're trying to change some legislation in election system. We talk about reform of police system, and we need some experience of another country in our area who really had good results. For example, Georgia. And the second issue is we have some problem with the media areas, media information, its coverage. We have only two or three public channel in our country, which is not doesn't have good quality. But we have channels from Uzbekistan, from Tajikistan, from Kazakhstan, and from Russia. And we see our political process in our country through eyes of Russia. And of course, Russia is not maybe happy with the process of which is happening now in our country. So we have lots of critical criticize from the Russia that the parliament system can't be really building in our country with this old political faces. So what do the civil society in the current situation? So we're trying to support this democracy initiative. For example, president, she's really just trying to have very good partnership with civil society. And we participate in the changing of some legislation or to provide new ethnic policy and legal policy. But at the time, we are not sure that it will be supported by another political leaders and by parliament, because we have now five fractions in parliament. They are very different, and they also just maybe don't yet understand what is parliament democracy. And so we changed system, but we didn't change yet our mind about this. So we every time think that only president has to be responsible for all situation in our country. And at this time, just parliament just take a place again just to criticize president, but doesn't do anything. At this time, we're trying to give some suggestion to international community. Please keep good contact and partnership, not only with our president, who is she now is Cinderella, with limited time, but with the parliament and government. And so civil society trying to work with this challenge, but at the time we have also very just difficult situation now, because just after June event, when we see the nationalism and nationalism is growth in our country, and people say that we are not patriotic because we every time trying to defend rights of the ethnic groups, but we don't think about our country, and they think that really just that we are spies or agency of some West community. And at this time, really just difficult to work with it and to explain people that we are trying also to do it and to work, because we also want just to have access to worthy life. And at this in this year we will have presidential election, and presidential campaign already started, and some of our political leaders will use the nationalism topic of nationalism and religious, because in our parliament now we see the old political faces, and people don't trust them, and they know about it, and maybe that's why they can't provide any new idea for people. So they need some political dividends. So it's easier to use and manipulate by nationalism and religious topics by the people, and to have some political dividends. And we think it can be very, we're concerned about this situation, because it's really just very, very sensitive in our country now. And I provide for Dima, he can say about the recommendation. Thank you.
Dear colleagues, I represent the Open Viewpoint Public Foundation. The organization actually has some background. When in 2008 we were providing the legal assistance for the victims of so-called no-cut events, when religious believers decided to celebrate the religious holiday on October 1st, and it resulted in a massive disorder, and many people were accused and belonging to extremism activity in Kyrgyzstan. So that's why maybe that case can be considered in terms of the current situation that we have after the conflict. So the poor management in the police system and judiciary system, so it doesn't mean maybe the problem of these systems is kind of systematic problem. And we need to think over and maybe sometimes to consider them in terms of the previous situation and some facts. I was working in the, actually at the moment I work at the two groups. That was the initiative of our president. She decided to establish the expert group to develop the ethnic policy in Kyrgyzstan. And just recently they also decided to establish another group just to organize more logical and planned activity to draft new legislation. My organization, the Open Viewpoint Public Foundation, was involved to drafting the new Kyrgyz constitution in the last year, and actually we included international human rights and standards into the special section, and thanks to other experts we actually implemented the like appropriate human rights standards that were not previously presented in our constitution. I was also among those experts that traveled to the south of Kyrgyzstan monthly, and we collected different data about the particular situation. And I submitted, had a chance to submit my personal observations to the president, because she was only a power at that time. So what happens? I would like maybe to add some comments about different special topics. The problem with the presidential initiatives is that we need to have some leadership from another parties. For example, the parliament, which is composed of five political parties at the moment, and three of them are composing the main coalition. And sometimes it's quite complicated to find a way to whom we should address some specific issues. For example, when the ethnic policy was drafted, there were another initiative from Atatürk party that was really has kind of some other priorities. And what we try to address is some equal rights and opportunities in our policy. But when we see some other documents, for example, Atatürk is more nationalistic party, so they try to use some nationalistic terms. And that's why maybe that's they just decided to run for the presidential elections. But now we are trying to have some consultations with them to have the joint document, because we understand that the initiative of the president, this is the first step. And after that, we need some support from the government and from the political parties presented in the parliament. Another initiative, this is the legal reform, concept on the legal reform. Actually, the first initial meeting was conducted just recently, and it had a kind of broader representation from all branches. That's why maybe we will organize the process more logically, because now we have some problematic situation in the parliament. Some initiative, sometimes maybe we do not understand why such initiatives were initiated by the members of the parliament, and some of them maybe we do not consider them as very important at the moment, because we know that maybe there are some other problematic issues should be addressed in terms of legal regulation. Regarding two other fields, in a religious situation of religious organization, our organization drafted a new draft law on religious organizations. We try to revise all provisions in terms of providing sufficient human rights and freedoms for all religious believers. At the moment, we consider that some political the members of the parliament, they decided to initiate some other draft laws. So they're trying to get more benefits, just addressing some issues, for example, to establish the praying room at the parliament. But we know that Kyrgyzstan is a secular state. That's why probably such issues like religion, ethnicity may have the main role during the forthcoming elections. And now I would like to address some recommendations. Maybe it could be better for everyone to consider that the president is not only an actor now in Kyrgyzstan, because previously many people were considering the president as the main key actor, but now we should address all these issues to the parliament and to all fractions, so all five parties presented in the parliament. And three of them are actually those that can establish a new government or the government at the moment. That's why the government also should feel the leadership on the process. There is a critical issue to investigate all cases of torture and human treatment, especially related with the June event and after that. So maybe different programs and different initiatives should refer to the fact of torture, and we should push forward this process. Regarding the humanitarian aid that was provided to the south region of Kyrgyzstan, we can say a few comments that probably one of the problems was lack of communication between the different donor organizations, and sometimes people didn't feel that they will receive this aid, or maybe it was used in a different way. There is a quite contradicting practice. For example, some organizations, they organize the whole process themselves, when others just deliver to Kyrgyzstan. It does mean that the effective distribution was the case of particular state officials or local officials. And on the other side, I would say that the civil society institutions, we try to participate in all spheres. For example, when the conflict started in the south of Kyrgyzstan, we didn't feel that there are some political forces ready to go to the south and start working on the conflict prevention or any kind of initiatives. I remember when, by the way, three of us are the people that work in an informal union of human rights defenders called Human Rights Defenders Council. We decided to go to the oppositional leaders and ask them, please go to the south, because one of them was the former Minister of Interior. He had sufficient experience to work in such conditions. And finally, after our dialogue and consultations with the most of political actors, that person was appointed. That was one of our success stories. And also, civil society organizations were deeply involved to the process of receiving the humanitarian aid in Bishkek, and we tried to organize distribution ourselves because we didn't expect that the local authorities may organize it in a very constructive and effective way. maybe the problem, the same that Dinara raised previously, the problem with media. Now we see that most of the media, they can cover some information in terms of, or maybe depending on the owner's will. That's why sometimes some newspapers are quite aggressive and use hate rate in their articles. But this is the policy of particular owners of newspapers. Regarding the central channel, the previous idea was to reorganize it to the so-called public television. But it seems that now some political leaders would like to turn back to the previous system, because of the forthcoming presidential elections. Sometimes it's not so clear what is the positive effect of the any programs that implemented by NGOs and international community in Kyrgyzstan. And we urge to provide sufficient coverage of this activity and maybe of the general effect, because unfortunately human rights organizations, donor organizations, international community is criticized by the general public. They call us as a spies, in like agents, etc. So some stereotypes. Regarding the international reports on the June events, for example, the first report of Human Rights Watch was evaluated very negatively. The problem is that lack of understanding of the general public that any state is obliged to provide sufficient protection and provide enjoined by all human rights and freedoms. And many people consider that the criticism of Kyrgyzstan as a state. Actually, they considered it that the international community criticized the ethnic Kyrgyz. So that's why we need maybe sometimes to use appropriate media coverage in advance to avoid such wrong understanding. At the beginning, we know that very soon the new report will be presented. This is the report of Scandinavian group of countries, and our state officials are very accurate, so they have some fears that maybe this report can initiate some new tensions in the society. And that's why we also address these media coverage issues. Maybe we need to work on sufficient coverage to avoid some negative evaluation of some of the text included, or maybe conclusions. That's in general. If you will have some questions, we are ready to answer them.
Okay. Thank you, Dima, and thank you everyone for your presentations. I think there's a great deal to discuss, and fortunately we have a fair amount of time within which to do it, about 50 minutes. So I would now like to open things up for questions. I would just a couple of ground rules. When you are asking a question, please state your name and state where you're from, what organization who you represent. I would also ask you to keep questions fairly brief and fairly focused in the interest of time. And if your question is directed towards a particular one of the presenters, please say so. So there is a microphone in the center of the room. When you do ask a question, please use the microphone and make sure it is switched on. There's a switch on the handle, I think, so I'm told. Anyway, so first question.
Yep. My name is Ethan Malinsky-Lanford. I don't represent anybody. I was doing journalism in Central Asia for a while, and I'm shifting gears to anthropology, focused on interpretations of Islam in Central Asia primarily. So I'm on that note, I'm curious about, I don't know really how to ask this question specifically, but I'm curious about how discussion of Islam is right now intertwined with discussion of ethnicity. And in the past, it seemed to me that among the ethnic Kyrgyz population, there was a lot of discussion about. There was a tendency to talk about Uzbeks as somehow more pious, more observant, and I'm wondering if that's still something that's being talked about, and how that might be at play in the coming presidential elections.
I just want to say that again, maybe because the secular state so long time worked and been corrupted. People now maybe don't trust to the secular state. They mostly trust to the this is really to say we see now very active religious groups who also trying to work with the people and who is now has ambition to participate in the political decision-making process. And we see that some political leaders in the parliament also trying to provide some idea that in the Kyrgyzstan we have about 60% of Muslims, so they have to dominate in the political life, and they have to dominate in government, and this is really just it can be really and realize. And we see now that all political leaders who, again, I told that they can't give any new some idea and be leader for people. They trying to use now. They trying to be very friendly with the religious group, and they are very friendly with the Mufti, who is leader of the religion. And it shows, and we see it, and we understand that the religious topic will be the first in the presidential campaign. At that time, as Valentina said, in the South, we see some really just bad tendency that even in mosques, we see the mosques for Uzbek people and for Kyrgyz people. And people, Kyrgyz people go to only the where the Mufti or Moldova is Kyrgyz, and Uzbek people go to the mosque where is the Uzbek. Our political leaders, we have this, know that political leaders in our country like to separate and rule, and of course they will use it. And this is only the two topics which we can use now, because any democracy idea they can provide in our country. They worked with Bakiev regime, they worked with Akayev's regime, and they understand, and they are not Democrats. And we can't wait any different idea from them.
I'd like to add some comments. Unfortunately, some politicians just manipulate with the general public in order to maybe to get more benefits. And sometimes they do not actually consider some positive changes what we now have in Kyrgyzstan. For example, our constitution, our new constitution, has sufficient provisions on the law on the freedom of religion. It's actually in line with the international covenant on civil and political rights. And we have sufficient provisions on limitation of rights that were not previously existed in our constitution. It does mean actually we apply to appropriate legal framework. We also drafted the new law on religious organizations, but this draft law should be presented to the parliament, and we are currently seeking some money for this work. And we need some work, we need some money and activities to work with different religious organizations, because there are some stereotypes in the society. So first of all, we feel some competition amongst different religious organizations. For example, some Muslim groups, they wouldn't like to, they're not so happy to see any other religious groups, and they would like to get more benefits, some privileges. They operate with some terms like traditional and non-traditional religious groups, which is unfair, because we want to establish the general legislation for any religious group to operate in the same legal framework. Unfortunately, it has place. And maybe one of the examples that we already mentioned. So some politicians are trying to get more benefits because of the forthcoming presidential elections. That's why they're not trying to think analytically about the like national interests. They're just trying to send some messages that maybe not so educated people or emotional people can accept in a very negative way. For example, that we are against the religious leaders or religion in general, or against the Muslims, which is not so. Because, for example, most of us, we were involved to investigation of the no-cut events. And the report has documented facts of torture and human treatment. Most of us were involved to the court hearings, and we tried to protect all these people up until the Supreme Court. So that's the situation.
Sardar or Valentina, would you like to add anything to this?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, it's really nice to have you here. My name is Asel Abdurrahmanova. I'm a faculty from Osh State University, Southern Kyrgyzstan, and currently I'm a visiting scholar at Columbia University at the School of International and Public Affairs, particularly at Harriman Institute. And my question, I think, will go to Valentina and Dinara in terms of how their reconciliation process is going doing and who should take a responsibility to build a peace and to make a progress in reconciliation. Like, should state authorities be the most responsible, or international and non-governmental organizations, or just the citizens of the southern Kyrgyzstan themselves, if they should cooperate, how this thing may happen or should happen? Thank you.
That's an excellent question. Valentina, maybe you first.
Я уже сказала в нескольких словах, что процессы примирения идут сложно очень, и государство не берет на себя эту функцию.
As I said before, the process of reconciliation is facing a lot of complications, and so far the state has not taken on any responsibilities.
Было несколько попыток примирения с участием государственных органов. Это было еще по свежим следам. Это было летом прошлого года. Это проводились совместные какие-то приготовления плова, там совместные его поедания, но это не дало результата.
There were a few attempts made by state organs last summer, for example, the preparations of joint feasts, and but unfortunately this didn't lead to any results.
Есть неправительственные организации, которые пытаются идти по другому пути. Они приходят в сообщества, в киргизские, в узбекские сообщества, и пытаются выяснить, какие же есть общие точки соприкосновения и что разного, что сейчас раздражает в одном сообществе другое.
And there are some civil society actors, for example, who take a different approach. They go into different communities, Uzbek communities, Kyrgyz communities, and try to find out what issues the two have in common and what are the factors, what are the issues that are agitating them.
И, как правило, в результате таких вот мероприятий получается, что у самих сообществ друг к другу нет ничего, что отталкивало бы. Тут получается такое, что вся силовая система, все правоохранительные органы, являясь моноэтничными и подавляя вот этот конфликт, в том числе вот и на стадии досудебных расследований, в судах, и у людей просто у этноса узбекского неприятие к этносу киргизскому из-за отношения к власти.
And as it turns out, there's very often nothing in and of itself that's really putting these two communities against each other. It's quite often the activities of the security services, which are generally mono-ethnic, their actions both during and after the courts, and this is a main factor which is turning the Uzbek community against Kyrgyz communities.
Есть такие примеры, когда в судах уже очень долго суды продолжаются, там по первой инстанции около 2 месяцев, по второй около 2 месяцев, и люди, ставшие жертвами в этих событиях, понимают, что судебный процесс им не дает ничего, не дает никакого возмещения, ни морального, ни материального вреда.
So sometimes these court cases can take a very long time. The first stage takes a couple of months, the second stage takes a couple of months, and the people, the victims, often have the feeling that through this process they're not going to get any sort of redress, whether material or moral.
Что на этих событиях нажились люди, которые, имеют отношение к власти и к структурам силовым.
And that maybe some people benefited from these events, people who had connections to the state or to the security structures.
Но простой человек, который в событиях потерял либо там ранения близкие получил, они не получат от процесса судебных процессов ничего.
But ordinary people who suffered, who were injured or who lost people, they realized they through the court processes they're not going to get anything.
Не пытаются принять какой-то опыт примирений, которые были в таких странах, где сильнейшие преступления были против человечности, например, Руанда.
And unfortunately, there are no methods being used for reconciliation in the country right now, which might draw on the experience of other countries where there were massive crimes against humanity, such as Rwanda.
Где создавались комиссии по примирению и установлению истины, что дало очень хороший результат.
There were no, for example, truth and reconciliation commissions.
У нас оно происходит так, как происходит.
Well, that's what's happening.
And I can just add some sentences. It's, as Valentina told, Central Asia, Central State doesn't have good influence south. And we see that during the what happened June event, only President had visited few times the south. And Prime Minister only one time, it's almost 1 year. and a speaker of parliament only one time. So it shows that they're trying to avoid this topic, June event, because maybe they have no any answer just what to do. And we see that we didn't create any dialogue about this, any political dialogue about this. And only just because some from Turkey, ambassador, he came to our country and asked to organize some meetings with political leaders and people from the south. It is the first dialogue in the parliament election time. And now this, because Roza Otunbayeva invited International Alert to our country, they are trying to conduct some dialogue. But it's a very difficult process because people, political leaders, doesn't want to participate in this. It's a very, really difficult. But we are trying to talk to them and invite them to talk to about this. Because really, just if we won't just really openly talk about the June event, we won't find any. And the international community can't do it for us. We should do it by ourselves. And we see that sometimes no coordination in of even international helps. Sometimes we see that lots of just helps in one district, but no any helps in a different district. Maybe and also it's very difficult to find information about activities of international. We know that some union about the food security, health security, but we don't know what happening with the legal protection and other. And of course, the situation depends from very famous mayor of Osh, Mirzakh Matov. He's really just has very big power in his district. And but now we see that because presidential campaign started, he's trying to be very friendly with Uzbek people. And maybe they can use this situation, we can use this situation. But as experts told, we have too very short time to start to do something or to start peace building. We need it first just to understand why it happened, and then maybe just do something.
May have a few comments. Actually, since I was working closely with the presidential administration, so I would maybe highlight some difference. If we look at the central power, so the president itself, herself, she was very active, dedicated. She tried to do something. But what we have, because I provided a lot of consultations, that's why I can tell for sure what kind of initiatives were actually done. First of all, she requested any time when I was visiting the South region, I provided some notes, what's going on, what are the forces involved, what kind of measures can be taken. But the problem is that after the new constitution, so when it was adopted, now president, she can has some more options to control the national security bodies and also the prosecutor's office. As with the office of Ministry of Interior, this is the responsibility of the government, which is composed of political parties. So we need to feel their leadership in this process. I can provide also another picture. For example, Arnamis Party. They received many votes from ethnic Uzbek in the south of Kyrgyzstan because they tried to say that they kind of shelter for the ethnic minorities and anyone. But after the president or parliamentary elections, they keep silence. That's the one of the trends. One of the problematic issues was when we tried to address some critical issues, but the president and any other people, actors, they should work with particular people. The question, how we can find new people in the south of Kyrgyzstan? So new judges, new prosecutors, new investigators. That's the serious problem. That's why we offered maybe to organize some sort of rotation. And unfortunately, it took a very long time. Just recently, we got new information that some judges and some investigators can be rotated. And maybe some of the issues were actually addressed in our document on the ethnic policy. For example, to show in the textbooks the common history of different ethnic groups in Kyrgyzstan, because it's something that should bring to the tolerance. And once again, one of the fears of some political figures was that they were more or less involved to the conflict. That's why we still have this problem. They can control some of the forces. Maybe they feel some personal risk. And this is the question of some new balances or new trends in the country.
Muzaffar.
Hi, my name is Muzaffar Suleymanov. I work as a research associate for Europe and Central Asia Program of Committee to Protect Journalists. I'll ask my question first in Russian, and I'll translate it in English. Добрый день, меня зовут Музафар Сулейманов. Я представляю Комитет по защите журналистов, Европейская Центральноазиатская программа. Сперва я задам вопрос по-русски, потом переведу его сам. Вы очень много говорили об ущемлении свободы прессы в Кыргызстане, о нарушениях прав человека, о деле Азимжана Аскарова как литмусовой бумажки для Розы Атумбаевой, для ее правительства. И вопрос такой вот. Как вы думаете, в курсе ли сама Роза Атумбаева и ее правительство о том, что ситуация со свободой прессы, ситуация с правами человека сейчас хуже, чем при Бакиеве и при режиме Акаева, который они постоянно критикуют? Пытался ли кто-либо из неправительственных организаций Кыргызстана встретиться с Атумбаевой и поднять эти вопросы? И какова ее реакция? И еще хотелось бы узнать, могли бы вы дать какой-то совет правозащитным организациям за пределами Кыргызстана, как, с кем именно работать и как выйти на президента, и вот как достучаться, чтобы поднять эти все вопросы и чтобы решить проблему со свободой слова в Кыргызстане? To sum up, my long question is Roza Atumbaeva and her government, are Roza Atumbaeva and her government aware that press freedom and human rights situation in Kyrgyzstan right now are actually worse than under Bakiyev and Akayev, whom they continue to criticize? And if she is doing anything to address this issue? My another question was if any local NGOs raised this issue with Roza Atumbaeva directly, and if representatives of human rights group present here can recommend Committee to Protect Journalists and human rights groups outside of Kyrgyzstan how to specifically work with the Kyrgyz government to improve human rights situation and press freedom. Thank you.
My point of view, maybe even in your question, actually you have some stereotypes. That's why I want to bring back, look, actually, I address the question. The president in Kyrgyzstan now is not the same that we have in the past. It's not the president like in Kazakhstan, in Uzbekistan, when only one person can manage the whole process in the country. So according to our constitution, we need to look at her actually responsibilities. If there are some issues belonging to any other branches, we need to address to those, to the government. But anyway, that's why just keeping in mind that we any power is operating in a legal framework, we should identify who has a responsibility and why. That's why we need to address these particular issues. So regarding Atumbaeva, actually she organizes very often some consultations with the civil society leaders. And once again, during all this period from the turnover until this moment, we have a very close contact with her and her administration. And maybe there are some comments. We do not have so often the conflict with the government, unfortunately. And now we are in the process of preparation, some special meeting with the members of the government. I mean the Council of Human Rights Defenders. Because we submitted many requests to the political parties, to the government. That's why we want to see some feedback. the recommendation may be whom to approach to anyone in accordance with their responsibility under the Constitution. So if the political parties presented in the government, so they are obliged to do something that actually under their responsibility under the Constitution. But also maybe it could be better to work with all political parties presented also in the parliament, there are five of them, and also those who didn't win.
And maybe just you told about mass media and the threats of for civil society activists. Mostly it's just the question about general security. It's the first question in our country, and we are trying just to every time ask and talk to with government, new government, with new parliament about that we need security. And not only just media or journalists or activists, all people are concerned about the security, because we see now that old system unable to protect citizens. And we see it now on the current situation, when the marginalized group can just come and attack some civic activists, and nobody can protect them. And you see in the South court hearing also, just when the police system can't protect any advocates and people during investigation. This is really current situation, and we see, and that's why we say that about the, that we need to change the system, corrupted system, and but we need time for this. And I can't say that we have now the situation as in Bakiev or worse than in Akhaev regime, because you know, just I just can say about my feeling. When I worked in this Bakiev time, I really was very tense. I felt it. I knew that if I will just very courage and say some just very courage statement, this I knew that this only just from government I can scare it, and I will have attack, but not from people. Now I don't scare it. I don't scare about the government or parliament or president attack. No, I mostly scare about the attack from marginalized group. This is situation for everybody, for all citizens.
Maybe just one comment. We had some actually before the visit to New York. We also had some meetings with the European Union representative in European Parliament. We try to address particular needs. In terms of financial support, technical support, because we still have the previous system. I mean, the law enforcement bodies, judiciary, and it does mean we need some very effective means to be taken in order to change the situation. And also the State Department, because we feel that some sort of coordination is really needed.
Yeah, I just want to add that you're right that we still have a problem in the sphere of freedom of expression, but I would say that the current situation is somehow decentralized, not like initiated and supported from the top of the government, but this is happening in a situation of when the government and the president just keeping silent. And of course, Roza Otunbayeva, as the president, she is aware about all the situation about Askarov, about threats against journalists, about that many journalists who are ethnic Uzbek just has left Osh city and then south part of the country, some of them just leaving country. And one of the problems is that she is surrounded by many other people and who are just not letting her do some positive steps.
Thanks. My name is Cornelius Grob, and I work here at the Open Society Foundations with the Central Eurasia Project. I have a question, and this is pertaining to the law enforcement structures and the judicial system that you frequently mention. You stress the need to involve the experience of other countries. You mentioned Georgia. Not sure whether the case of Georgia is applicable so well in the case of Kyrgyzstan. I'm not sure if basically firing everybody right now would do so much good for the security situation in the country. But in general, I mean, there have been a lot of initiatives, a lot of donor-led initiatives. There's been the EU Rule of Law Initiative. There's been the OZE Police Reform Project. There's been the EU-led BOMCA Project. And I was just wondering, what kind of effects do you see of those programs in Kyrgyzstan? Where do you think there needs to be those approaches need to be reformed? Where do you see the advantages of kind of like outside help in these projects? And what do you think the role of civil society can be? And where, which groups do exist in Kyrgyzstan which can constructively take part in these kind of negotiations, in these kind of initiatives? Thanks.
I would like to add some comments on this matter. First of all, some international assistance should, first of all, follow the same principles that they want to have in Kyrgyzstan. For example, political participation of civil society, because unfortunately not most of the project they invite civil society leaders or they involve them to some of these initiatives. And also this is a question of transparency. In some cases we were not able to receive information from our donors, and so how we can actually assist in creating these conditions in Kyrgyzstan if the donors themselves are not following them. And actually, for example, in Europe, and also in the State Department, we discussed these issues. The OSCE reform project actually had already, it's a seven-year project. And what are the results? And now, because of that situation, many people are very critical. What kind of initiatives may be implemented if we had such a project? That's why maybe we need to revise the previous experience and find the new approach. And actually, before our visit here, we had one meeting with OSCE representatives. So they invited some experts from different countries. So, and we discussed what kind of issues may be addressed in the reform process. And maybe one comment about one meeting with Mr. Tekibayev. So right after the revolution, we were going to Venice Commission, to the Venice Commission to present our draft constitution. And he had a question what to do with the police system, because he knows that it is corrupted, but this is a question of sufficient money. This is a question of sufficient financial report, maybe technical report, some particular models to be observed. Unfortunately, they decided not to start the reforming process because of not having sufficient money. But the problem also was, look, the situation in Kyrgyzstan was very weak. And in case of firing all the police officers, they might get a new additional area of lack of control. And maybe we have now similar situation, like more or less political parties, so we have some new political system now, but somebody should provide sufficient protection. So maybe it's the question of strategy.
Maybe just to say that to do negotiations with all political parties in the parliament, just to be sure about the long-term guarantee of these results, because they all political parties take a part in the decision-making process, and it is the time we see that we have in parliament so lots of political parties. It's difficult for us every time just to find the leaders and talk to them and make some agreement with them, because they are very different. It's difficult. but it can work. It can work because anyway the parliament now is the main actor in the political process.
К нашему большому сожалению, реформы в системе МВД они проводились ну просто ради реформ. Приезжали эксперты, которые зарабатывали на этом.
Unfortunately, it seems like a lot of the reforms of the Ministry of Internal Affairs were just reforms for the sake of reforms. We had a lot of experts come, they made some money off of that.
В МВД существовала целая категория людей, которые якобы занимаются реформой. Они тоже были обеспечены работой.
Within the Ministry of Internal Affairs, there was a group of people who were allegedly responsible for reform. They also were guaranteed jobs because of this.
К сожалению, на выходе, там, где милиция работает непосредственно с населением, выхлоп был нулевой. То есть реформ как таковых не было.
But when you get right down to it, where the police actually interact with the population, the result of this has been actually absolutely zero.
Сейчас миссия ОБСЕ, которая находится в стране, похоже, ее ждет вот такой же конец.
And with regard to the current OSCE mission in the country, I'm afraid the same fate awaits them.
Я встречалась с человеком, который представляет эту миссию в городе Джалалабад.
I met the person who's in charge of this mission in Jalalabad.
Это хороший, добрый финский парень, который думает, что Киргизстан и Финляндия это примерно вот, ну, равные позиции.
He's a very nice Finnish guy who apparently thinks that Finland and Kyrgyzstan are more or less in the same place.
Ему дали кабинет в управлении внутренних дел области.
He got an office in the local police headquarters for the province.
Ну, я думаю, он там будет работать также в отрыве от этой. Когда мы встречались и пытались рассказать ему о реалиях работы с населением, о реалиях работы милиции нашей.
And when we and he'll I guess he'll be working there. When we met with him to try to talk about the real situation and the relations with the police.
Он сказал: «Ну вы такие пессимисты, ну как вообще можно жить с таким пессимистическим настроением?»
He said: «Oh, you're such a pessimist. How can you live with such a pessimistic outlook?»
Мы говорим: «Мы пессимисты не по жизни, не по складу характера, а от ситуации, потому что мы видим, что вот так происходит, и надо несколько по-другому работать».
We said: «Well, we're not pessimists by nature. It's the situation that makes us pessimists, and you need to look at the situation and work differently».
Наши пожелания остались у нас.
And unfortunately, these wishes remained our wishes.
Maybe a few comments what can be done. First of all, any assistance to the police reform process, maybe this is a question of conditionality. Any reform should have concrete results, maybe different stages, and that's why maybe the tranche approach can be applied for this, for any aid that should be provided to the reform process. We also need to have some particular models, and all these models should be discussed in the society. When we try to contact the police officers, and I mean the administration of the police system in Kyrgyzstan, they try to say, yes, we have some our views, but this is a question. Is it possible to expect a lot of changes from the system itself? I'm sure no. That's why we need some we need to have some particular models and discuss them in the society. What kind of maybe conditions can be used? First of all, we have a very huge problem with the physical access to the closed institutions. So maybe one of the conditions is to provide access to the closed institution for civil society organizations. So the second question, what should be the requirements, for example? Also, this is a question of new legislation that actually should provide sufficient obligations of the state powers and also to ensure the human rights standards in all institutions.
Okay, other questions? In the back, and then we'll come back to you.
Hatuna Birita, Georgia, currently at the Hardiman Institute, Columbia, and Faculty Development Fellowship. My question is, or the public distrust ratio towards the incumbent regime in comparison to the public distrust ratio, maybe to the parliamentary system? Are there any emerging political forces or any hope that any donor-free civil society will emerge or will be emerging anytime soon? Thank you.
Maybe I will add some comments at the beginning. First of all, we never had such a system, such a new political system. That's why we do understand that sometimes, like, we're not satisfied because We never had such atmosphere when we had no leadership, because the new parties, maybe they were not ready, they had no agenda programs, they were not able to maybe revise their own strategy, how to address the interest of the nation. That's a problematic issue. On the other side, maybe we had such expectations that the process of establishing and creating new political system should take some transitional time, maybe one term of the parliament. Unfortunately, in the parliament and political parties, we now have some deputies that actually operate in a very different way. So the parties have their own agenda, but some deputies belonging to particular parties can has its own agenda. That's why we try to address these critical questions to the leaders of political parties. Hey, guys, what's going on? Please discuss any questions inside, and after the final decision, you can go to the public. Otherwise, it's unclear what's going on there.
And about the civil society. You know, this, it's also just very big and actual question for our civil society also, just how to be independent from the donors. We talked about this, but unfortunately, we have no any just ideas because economical situation in our country, and people can give their just work as volunteers, but we are membership organization, and we try to just collect this money from members, but we have to pay more tax for this, so we can't this be sustainability membership organization is. And also just it's a question maybe also for international organization who support civil society, just because we have no any program about this, just institutional sustainability of NGO. Mostly we work just by some projects, cases, projects, that's all. And of course we're trying to think about this, how we can just be sustainability. And we talk now. And we talk with we discuss with the government also about that if this government could support some social NGOs, but again we have very weak budget, and unfortunately they can't find any foundation for even support the social NGOs.
Okay, it's again me. It's very clear that politicians and other powers identified the weaknesses of the country, of the state. So first of all, it is issues of nationalism. Then it's the question of ethnic conflicts, particularly between Uzbeks and Kyrgyz in the south. On the other hand, there is an issue of northern and southern parts of the Kyrgyzstan. And the last new emerging issue is the religious issue. And in your presentations, you talked about a lot about nationalism, so rising nationalism in Kyrgyzstan. As it seemed to me, it was you had like more negative attitude to this issue than positive, of course. And we know that there are types of nationalism, like radical being a radical nationalist and constructive nationalism. And what do you think, like, at last, in order to develop national identity of, let's say, Kyrgyz people, what is the role of constructive nationalism here? Or is there any case for constructive nationalism, or there is no like question about this?
You know about the we know what is radical nationalism and constructive nationalism. When the government and people try to say about that all citizens in our country has to know, because it's government language and use it, we say yes, we have to. But at the time when they say just you just have to know, but any they don't any assist to help for people to study this language, we think it's
not constructive. When the minister deputy comes to parliament and trying to give report about very actual urgent topic, and the members of parliament ask, please say it in the Kyrgyz language. They don't care about content, they care about the form of this. We think it's not constructive. When I'm coming to market and asking some question about maybe just on the Russian, and they say, why are you Russian? You're Kyrgyz, you should speak, and, or you have to, not should, but have to speak. It's we have just some like Kyrgyz and Kyrgyz. Even between Kyrgyz people, we have separation. When they just, he doesn't know Kyrgyz language, so he's Kyrgyz. He is really just, it's difficult, yes. It's difficult, and maybe we have some difficulties also just when we contact with with region. With region, because in region mostly using Kyrgyz language, because it's maybe just they have no any access to some information. Maybe we have no. It's really just a big problem for us. But we are trying just to talk to this commission and the president that how to assist for citizens to study Kyrgyz language.
I'd like to add some comments. In 2008, we submitted our alternative report to the UN Committee on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination. Actually, you can find some systematic problems in this area, because maybe some pictures that we have now, actually, they come to the past. And maybe another problem is that the people in Kyrgyzstan are not tolerant. They believe that they have a right to dictate to someone else what are the languages should be spoken, how to live. They're not accepting other ethnicity. And this is a question also between Kyrgyz and Kyrgyz. It's not the problem. Actually, some people were trained because they finished, for example, the school with Russian language. We have professional language in many specific fields like medicine, law, and unfortunately, we do not expect that very soon we'll get the professional Kyrgyz language in some these technical spheres, for example. It does mean it takes some time. That's why maybe this is a question of sufficient planning and providing sufficient funding for developing the language. On the other side, we have different ages. When the people belonging to the older group, it's quite complicated for them to learn the Kyrgyz language. With the younger population and especially pupils, children gardens, it's not a problem. But unfortunately, our parliament, they never approved the special budget to develop Kyrgyz language, when at the same time we had one good positive project in Kyrgyzstan supported by the Swiss Cooperation Agency. That was the project when many people from the younger ages, they should start learning different languages. Unfortunately, Kyrgyzstan didn't take the leadership and didn't provide sufficient financial support. So,
and at that time, look, for example, people think that if they will close Uzbek school and Russian school, that people start to study Russian. But at the time, we have very high level of our migrants in Russia, and they don't speak on Russian. It really makes it difficult for them.
One example, look at Narin. Narin, majority is Kyrgyz, Kyrgyz speaking population, but only way maybe one Russian school overloaded by the pupils because the parents want to furnish their children with the one language, which is Russian, in order to give more chances in the free market.
I just want to add that I agree that with the process of national identification is needed, but this process should go without in a condition without discrimination and prioritization of for population.
Maybe I would like to see the idea when in Kyrgyzstan most of the people will be furnished with different languages, like in any other countries. English, Russian, Kyrgyz, and maybe Uzbek.
People in Kyrgyzstan are not so tolerant, because how can we call not tolerant those people, especially in the south? For example, if you visit the south Kyrgyzstan, you will be evident of this process when Kyrgyz people speak Uzbek better, sometimes maybe than Russian, maybe than Kyrgyz. And how can we tell intolerant these people? I think it's a little bit, we should correct something here. Because Kyrgyz people are vice versa. We are really open and we are really flexible. And we can learn as many languages as we can in the region, if you compare with Kazakhstan, with Uzbekistan, with Tajikistan, whatever country in the region. And that's why just small comment on this. Yeah.
I see that just the question about integration. We saw in the south, then the integration village, when the Uzbek could protect the Kyrgyz people, Kyrgyz people protected Uzbek people. It was really just good story of success story.
Maybe one of the comments, actually, when some people do not consider that another individual have all rights and freedoms, and it's up to him what language to use, where to study, how to live, and when he dictates how to live, it's something about bad understanding of the nature of, like, particular interest of particular person to decide where to live, where to go, how, etc. And maybe this is the question, why I made this conclusion. When we see in some statements like you have to, you must, this is not the language of recognizing some other's liberties. That's all. But in terms of human rights, once again, I want to turn back. Because we were drafting the ethnic policy, this is responsibility of the state to furnish or to create sufficient conditions, to provide funding.
Okay. I see that there are other questions. Unfortunately, however, our time for this space has come to an end, so I'm afraid I'm going to have to bring things to a stop there. There may be a couple of minutes if you want to come up and address our panelists individually. We might have a couple of minutes for that. But I think in terms of the formal side of things, I'm going to have to bring things to a close. So I'd like to thank our participants for coming, for their obviously very thought-provoking comments, and all of you for participating. Thank you very much.